Good morning, Kansas City. Welcome to Free Market Underground, where every week we bring you all things boom and bust. My name is Chris Butler, portfolio manager for Butler Lands and Wagler, and Free Market Underground is produced every week by Mr. Martell Love, except this week, where we have Mark Andrews. This show is sponsored by Butler Lands and Wagler. Good morning, Mr. Andrews.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am fine. And a quick shout-out, if I may.
Yeah.
I was unaware of how many people at my church go over here to Shawnee Bible Church off of Shawnee Mission Parkway and 61st Street. How many people listen to you? They go, oh, Mark, we heard you the other day on.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So.
Well, we can make this show the Mark Andrews Show.
Well, sure.
we can certainly say your name as often as we can. I'm glad that people listen.
Well, I'm glad they do too. But they really love your show. So there
that's
you go.
Great. You know what's interesting is since I've been doing this show now for 10 years, sometimes this just happened last week. Someone who had no idea who I was just heard me say something, a couple of sentences, and asked if I was on the radio.
There you go.
And I mean, it's weird because I don't have that kind of hearing. I mean, I can't pick up voices like that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. Because I'm in the business, I listen to a lot of different voices.
Right.
And I can usually tell, I can hear a voice and go, oh, I know who that is. But usually I don't get the face recognition with the voice,
because
I picture somebody totally different.
Yeah.
Like me, most people, they hear me, they think I'm handsome, young, and wonderful.
Which you are.
Which, yeah.
They got it right.
As they say, the old face for radio.
That's right, as do I. I have a face for radio. You know, I was out of town this week, Mark, for most of it, in Chicago, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and had the opportunity to be in several airports. We had a big vote here on our own airport.
I heard that.
And apparently it passed swimmingly. 3-1. The article I read was from the Denver Post, actually, so I'm not really sure what the final tally was, but it was at least a landslide victory. I don't know if it ended up being 3-1, but that's the way it projected at the time that article was written. Have you heard exactly what the tally was? It was 3-1 about,
yeah,
right?
I think that's about right. Being a Kansas boy myself, I didn't get to vote on
right.
it. I didn't pay a lot of attention. But I guess I found it odd, and nothing against our Democratic brothers, but I get a little concerned, I guess, when the Democrats are pushing for something. And they're saying no taxes involved.
Right.
Like, okay, that sounds reasonable. But I find it interesting, too, that the production company was not the Hometown Boys.
Right. Yeah, that is strange. This vote did not solidify a lot of details. In fact, it solidified nothing other than the go-ahead. We're not going to know a whole lot about this. In fact, I've not even heard how long it would take to build an airport. So
2 weeks.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You would think that it could be built relatively quickly, but it's not going to be. There are going to be all sorts of snags along the way. My thing with it is that to the extent that it helps Kansas City, I'm all for it, particularly if it doesn't involve any taxpayer money. However, I don't have a horse in that race really either. I don't travel that much. I just happen to be traveling this week, but don't do it that often. I have never, call it 4 times a year, I have never had a problem with our airport. It obviously, if you do travel, our airport stands out, good or bad. It is, in my opinion, one of the easiest airports to get into and out of. It's one of the easiest airports in the country to get to your gate from the point where you entered the airport to the point where you are in your gate. It's easy. In fact, I have one of those Fitbits, Mark, that tracks my steps.
Right.
And I went on the days that I flew, I went way over the 10,000 steps, and I just tracked how many steps I took at all these airports. Generally speaking, the of the total steps of the day between three airports, because I wasn't going directly anywhere. There was always a layover in Chicago or Philadelphia. The layover sites even had more steps than did my entry and exit from the Kansas City International Airport. Not a very scientific study for sure, a sample size of one. So we would call this anecdotal evidence, but I would hate to see them do something that would make that more of a chore.
Yeah, I would. You know, when I first came to Kansas City, it was on my birthday in 1976, I got a little confused with the three separate terminals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I had never experienced that before. And I'm like waiting for my, I think it was Frontier Airlines to take me to Manhattan, Kansas, so I could go to Fort Riley.
There you go.
And I was like, gosh, man, my plane should be leaving soon. They go, oh, well, that's over in terminal whatever. And I'm like, oh.
And but, that is one of the things that the proponents of this vote held against this airport was the multiple terminal outline design. And yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that either, but I've never had to go from, say, terminal A to terminal C or B to A because I live here. Now, obviously, if you're changing airlines, you have to do that, but I've never had to, so I don't know how much of a hassle it is. I would suggest to those folks that haven't flown much that it's no different than the Pittsburgh airport, the Denver airport. In times of going in between concourses, call it a terminal, call it a concourse, call it a level, whatever it is, you got to get from point A to point B.
Well, I've not traveled a lot recently, but I can still remember going to O'Hare, which is a whole lot of fun, and also Atlanta. Right. You know, we used to have a little saying down in Orlando, Florida, that when you die, you go to Atlanta first before you go to heaven, because everything goes through Atlanta. So
right, no, you're exactly right. And by the way, that airport is nice. The thing that that strikes you if you go to the Atlanta airport is all of the shopping available to you. And I know that was one of also the things that was mentioned in this debate. Was all of the shops that would entice you in a newer airport? You know what? When I am there to fly, I'm there to fly.
Yes,
I'm not going to go pick up some jeans.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not. I understand that ours sticks out for not offering that kind of amenity.
Yeah,
but you know, in the Denver Post article, Mark, they were talking about how Kansas City officials think that. Because of our airport, we should be embarrassed when people come to Kansas City. I don't think that's the – I agree that we should be embarrassed, but it's not because, oh, my gosh, these people got in and out of the airport very quickly. It's because that airport is nowhere near the downtown.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could hardly wait now to see it's Black Friday specials at KCI.
Yeah, right. Going right up there. Going to go get some jeans.
By the way, I do see that, according to whatever I'm reading here, KCI passed with, squeaked by with 79% of the vote.
79%. So yeah. Much, much more than a 3-1. That is resounding. I think part of it, too, Mark, was that there is the feeling that this will bring jobs to the Kansas City area. That's a bonus, I suppose.
I think that's part of it. It's kind of interesting, not to open up a can of worms, but that they picked Edgemore from Maryland versus McDonald or Burns and McDonald here in town. So.
Yeah. For the initial rendering, I don't. Are they for sure going to be the design company?
Well, who knows at this point?
Yeah. All things considered, though, you know, like I said at the outset, this was a huge deal for Kansas City. I know a lot of people were passionate about it on both sides, and I could see both sides. I just hope that whatever they come up with does not – you know, I hope it's great. I hope that it is something that people in Kansas City can be proud of. I just hope it does not make things like O'Hare, like Pittsburgh, like Philadelphia, like Denver. Those are huge airports.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the one thing that bothers me in this whole stuff. It says, throughout the metro, votes in favor of the new $1 billion. Mm-hmm. $1
billion. Right.
$1 billion wouldn't pave a parking lot out there.
Yeah, right.
So I have a feeling that $1 billion is going to go up a few bucks.
It is. And the last thought on that is that if you're going to have users pay, and that is the design, you cannot extract money from people, be it taxes or user fees or whatever, and not have some kind of offset. And the example I'll use before we take a break here is that in the hotel I stay at in Pittsburgh is attached to the airport, bought a $16 burger from this room service back last year, or actually it was earlier this year. $16. Okay, and I am just almost morally against paying $16 for a hamburger, particularly of the size of this one. ended up after, and I had to tip, and I don't mind tipping, but after the tip, it was $30.
Wow. Okay,
and what do you think I did when at first I pretended like, okay, yeah, that's I don't remember it being $30, but okay. The room service left. I looked at the receipt, and it was taxes. Now, the reason I bring it up is simply this, that I have been in that hotel now 3 times, and the last two times I was in that hotel, I have not ordered the $16 hamburger that magically turns into $30 at point of delivery. Instead, I walk across the parking lot to a grocery store.
There you go.
To avoid the high tax. Now, not everybody's like me. Not everybody's going to do that, and I realize that. But imagine that there are a number of people that are as shocked at that tax as I was that decide to behave differently.
Oh, yeah.
So it may be that this covers the whole thing. Hope it does. Airline fees and user fees. Uh-huh. But don't think there isn't some kind of behavioral element at work here. But I like the idea of a new airport. Sure, if it's not my money going into it, I just hope they make it, they retain the convenience factor. We'll see. And one of the things we didn't mention, too, is one of the complaints against this airport is that it is no longer post-9/11 security compliant, which obviously has to change. So if this is the best way to do it, great. All right, we need to take a break. When we get back, we'll talk about the economy. We had a big tax proposal released by the Senate this week. We'll get into that. We will take our break now. You're listening to Free Market Underground, all things boom and bust on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
FM 103.7 and AM 710, stimulating talk. KCMO.
Over the last few months, politics and a bipolar economic picture have been driving markets. Both of these stories, though, have taken the investor's eye off the ball. My name is Chris Butler with Butler Lands and Wagler and host of the radio show Free Market Underground. Investors should be looking at the extreme valuations we're seeing in both stocks and bonds. That means stocks and bonds both are relatively expensive. Why should this be a concern? Because markets rarely do well from periods of high valuations over the ensuing 10 years. But this is a great time to evaluate the risk you're taking with your investments. Do you have too much in stocks or too much in bonds? And what's your plan if either of these two markets fall or go nowhere for a lengthy period of time? Maybe we can help. Download our free report at investontrack.com and see how we use extreme diversification and other risk reduction tools to help navigate these markets in our all-weather growth portfolio. Again, go to investontrack.com and download our free report.
Hello, beautiful. I'm Amy Arrett, founder of Madison Reed, a hair color company I named after my daughter. I founded Madison Reed with the idea to create luxurious, ammonia-free, salon-quality at-home hair color that saves women time and money. Thanks to all of you, it's working. From New York to Florida, California to North Dakota, women all over the U.S. are trying and loving Madison Reed. Whether you're a busy mom, an executive, or a beauty fanatic, This is hair color that gives you the freedom to do more of what you love. This is hair color for all. In under an hour and less than $25, Madison Reed delivers gorgeous, multidimensional, shiny hair. Join the hundreds of thousands of women who have discovered a better way to color. Find your perfect shade at madison-reed.com and get 10% off plus free shipping on your first color kit. Use code TRUTH. That's code TRUTH.
FM 1037 and AM 710. Stimulating talk. KCMO.
Welcome back to Free Market Underground, where every week we talk about all things boom and bust. My name is Chris Butler, portfolio manager with Butler Lands and Wagler. Today is November 11th.
Oh, that's, you know, we forgot.
Yes.
Veterans Day.
It is Veterans Day, and I want to say thank you to all who served. I especially want to thank those who served in Vietnam, who got probably the worst treatment of all of our veterans upon arriving back home from active duty. So thank you to all who serve, especially those of you who served in Vietnam. Now, you said you went to Fort Riley, Mark. You served.
Yes. My that's where I met my wife.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's hard to believe, but we were both in the military. We were kind of in that Vietnam had ended and going into the all-volunteer time of the Army. Two of our sons have also served. One of our sons is still in the reserve.
And for which branch?
Both of them were in the Army, and they both went to Iraq. They were over there for a while. They
wow.
also did some other travels as well.
Well, thank you to you, your wife, and your sons.
Well, thank you very much. And we thank those men and women who have served and actually, you know, did things that we didn't
yes.
do, actually went into combat and things. So.
Yeah. And my hat is tipped to those folks as well. We also had, I don't know if you knew this, Mark, we had the 100th anniversary of the Bolshevik Revolution this week. Did you know that?
No, I missed that one on my calendar.
Yes, it is not marked on the Mark Andrews family calendar. surprise. Yeah, that 100 years since the Bolsheviks disrupted, I was going to say Russia, they disrupted the world.
Oh, yes.
And we are still feeling the reverberation. But what's interesting is in the same week, we're also celebrating an anniversary of the Berlin Wall falling.
Uh-huh.
So on the other side, there's that. By the way, I just want to, there are a lot of college professors that periodically make the news for having some very extreme left views from time to time. I'm just going to throw this out. Compare, if you will, West Germany versus East Germany, the quality of life in those countries when they were separated. Also, you can take a look at any number of, Cuba versus Puerto Rico. We're talking about the same geography, but markedly different outlooks. Now, you could argue Puerto Rico has leaned more and more towards the Cuban way of doing things, and you wouldn't be wrong. But they are still a democratic society and still have a much higher standard of living than does their neighbor Cuba. So you can go back in time and take a look at all of these very easy-to-compare examples.
But Cuba has all those cool old 1950s cars.
It is so retro. I mean, it is hip to be square in Cuba. I mean, I wonder if they know how cool that is. Because Americans look at that and they say, my gosh, that is like $1 million on the road there.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, in collector's items. Something tells me that the Cubans do not know.
Yeah, probably not.
And you're right, though. They've still got all of those great cars in service down there. I mean, these are not shined up and parked away in a garage. They still use them.
Oh, yeah. That's why it's so great down there, because it's so free
yeah.
as long as, you know, you're doing the right thing
right.
all the time.
And it is also strange to juxtapose the plight of the people there versus the environment.
Yes.
I mean, it looks like a vacation wonderland.
Yes.
And there's so much social strife there. So we also saw the one-year anniversary of the Republican-run Senate acting strangely out of step with other Republicans. This marks a one-year anniversary of that. Of course, that's an old story now. We've seen this many times over the last year. Those folks came up with their own tax plan. And, if the release could have had a sound effect, it would have been a big raspberry. I don't think that it was well received, and I think I'm understating the case. The stock market absolutely hated it. And the reason the stock market hated it, by the way, isn't so much the content of the plan. It's that it was so far off what the Republican Congress offered that they are starting to think, and I think rightly so, stock market, that this is not going to be a 2017 story. I mean, with the release of the Senate plan, this almost assuredly is a 2018 story. And here's my problem with the Senate plan. It's not that bad. The problem with tax cuts is that the way they're trying to pass this requires that they not create more than a $1.5 trillion deficit over the next 10 years. So they are restricted in what they can do. So in a lot of ways, it's these people we will give and to these people we will take. It's not really an aggregate tax cut by much. I mean, you're talking about $150 billion a year. It's not much. The problem I've got with it is they retain a lot of deductions. And I know everybody's got their favorite deduction. Home mortgage interest, medical care, student loan interest. All of these are, when we retain them, what we're doing is we're giving our federal government enough juice to continue to hand out tax favors. I mean, that's really it. I mean, if you take away one deduction, in my opinion, you have to take away all of the deductions.
Absolutely.
I mean, because you're creating winners and losers by keeping some of these deductions around.
And did they not say that we would lower corporate tax rates in 2019?
Yes, actually, Mark, good point. That is the stinker. I mean, it's the obvious 300-pound, 800-pound gorilla in the room is that they're going to lower the corporate tax rate. The one thing that would probably move the dial of the economy the most, you're going to delay that by a year. It's still going to happen, but delay it by a year. Why? Well, and this is what bothers me, because I think the why is very simple. It's that they could keep deductions.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And when you keep deductions, you maintain the power to hand out tax favors, the power to create tax winners and tax losers. Unbelievable. I mean, and that was what the stock market, to your point, Mark, exactly. That's the problem the stock market really had with this, beyond the obvious, oh my gosh, this isn't going to happen anytime soon. It's when it does happen, it might not be such a boon for corporations. And if it's not a boon for corporations, then we're not going to get as quick an immediate impact on our economy. Well, we need to take a break right now. When we get back, we'll talk about the markets. You're listening to Free Market Underground, all things boom and bust on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM as well. Baby, get a blister on your thumb. Over the last few months, politics and a bipolar economic picture have been driving markets. Both of these stories, though, have taken the investor's eye off the ball. My name is Chris Butler with Butler Lands and Wagler and host of the radio show Free Market Underground. Investors should be looking at the extreme valuations we're seeing in both stocks and bonds. That means stocks and bonds both are relatively expensive. Why should this be a concern? because markets rarely do well from periods of high valuations over the ensuing 10 years. But this is a great time to evaluate the risk you're taking with your investments. Do you have too much in stocks or too much in bonds? Now, what's your plan if either of these two markets fall or go nowhere for a lengthy period of time? Maybe we can help. Download our free report at investontrack.com and see how we use extreme diversification and other risk reduction tools to help navigate these markets in our all-weather growth portfolio. Again, go to investontrack.com and download our free report.
CBS News Update, it's nighttime in Vietnam. And the Star-Spangled Banner and this acknowledgement by President Trump.
We've come a long way, the United States and Vietnam.
We're all part of a state dinner at the APAC Economic Summit. Mr. Trump says he asked Russia's Vladimir Putin earlier about a familiar topic. CBS's Major Garrett in Da Nang.
Aboard Air Force One on his flight from here to the Vietnamese capital of Hanoi, the president told reporters he did ask Putin if he ordered meddling in the 2016 U.S. election. He said he didn't meddle. I asked him again. You can only ask so many times. I just asked him again. He did not do what they are saying he did, the president said, adding that Putin, quote, is very insulted by it, which is not a good thing for our country.
The U.S. intelligence contradicts Putin's claims, and after the conversation with Mr. Trump, Putin said the accusations of meddling are, quote, fantasies. CBS News Update, I'm Peter King.
KCTV Storm Track 5 forecast.
Whatever you have planned for your Saturday, it's a good day to do something indoors. Slight chance of rain this morning, but then turning into a likelihood during the p.m. all the way through the evening. Highs stuck in the 40s most of the day with a cloudy sky. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Ronna Williams.
Over the last few months, politics and a bipolar economic picture have been driving markets. Both of these stories, though, have taken the investor's eye off the ball. My name is Chris Butler with Butler Lands and Wagler and host of the radio show Free Market Underground. Investors should be looking at the extreme valuations we're seeing in both stocks and bonds. That means stocks and bonds both are relatively expensive. Why should this be a concern? Because markets rarely do well from periods of high valuations over the ensuing 10 years. But this is a great time to evaluate the risk you're taking with your investments. Do you have too much in stocks or too much in bonds? Now, what's your plan if either of these two markets fall or go nowhere for a lengthy period of time? Maybe we can help. Download our free report at investontrack.com and see how we use extreme diversification and other risk reduction tools to help navigate these markets in our all-weather growth portfolio. Again, go to investontrack.com and download our free report.
Westwood One and the National Football League present the Kurt Warner Quarterback Podcast.
I know Drew Brees is on the other sideline, or I know Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, but I don't play against them. That is such a lie.
Well, you went against Brett Favre or whoever,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. You know who's on the other sideline. And when you're going into a game, you tell yourself, if we're going to beat this team, I cannot be outperformed by that other great quarterback, or we don't have a chance.
The Kurt Warner Quarterback Podcast. Subscribe today.
On the Westwood One Podcast Network.
FM 1037 and AM 710. Stimulating talk.
They cover every story that's pertinent.
KCMO.
Let them deal with the issue.
I look at the country and it is very divided. And you've got to wonder where it's going to lead to.
Stand up and debate it.
Let's solve the problem.
Kansas City's KCMO.
Welcome back to Free Market Underground, where every week we engage you in thoughtful discourse about our economy and our markets. My name is Chris Butler, Portfolio Manager with Butler Lands and Wagler. Mark Andrews here producing today. Mark, you said that you wanted to have a shout out to the good folks at your church. Say the name of the church again.
Hello? Let me get my voice back. There we go. All right. Shawnee Bible Church.
Shawnee Bible Church. Yeah. Thank you for listening, folks. Hope you're enjoying your Saturday morning, Veterans Day morning. Last segment, we were talking, Mark, about that really strange Senate tax bill being released that in a lot of ways contradicts what was done by the House. I don't think the Senate gets it. And I think this is why the Senate has such a Senate Republicans, I should say, have kind of a different view from the mainstream Republican versus the House, which I think does get it at least more on tax reform. Here's the thing. Number one, what the Senate is asking is that we maintain a lot more of the deductions than the House wanted to. We're looking at a very bipolar, politically anyway, country right now. The middle is shrinking, and the extremes to the right and the left are growing. Okay, and here's the similarity between the socialists on the extreme left and the socialists on the extreme right, and make no mistake, that's what they are. They are fighting over who gets the loot. Who gets to spend the loot? They both disagree on who ought to get the loot, on what projects ought to get the loot, but they are both in favor of getting the loot. And there is no loot if you have a small government. They wouldn't have anything to argue about, and you would see those polls dissipate, and you'd see again a growth in the middle. The difference between these people is all about how to spend other people's money. And the only way that happens if there's this huge amount of other people's money. Look at the growth in the size of the federal government versus the growth in the polarity of the political parties in this country. It is strange that they should be so highly correlated at first blush, but if you think about it, not really. Big government equals big loot. And then there's something to argue over. And that's where the disagreement is. How do we spend this loot? In the right, middle right, you've got people saying there shouldn't be that much loot in the first place. I guess that's where I would consider myself.
Absolutely.
So, I you know, this plan, when I saw the Senate plan, I'm thinking the Senate does not get it. The House gets it, or at least they get it more than the Senate by a fairly large margin. We don't want there to be loot for people to fight over. Get rid of the loot.
That's right.
That means getting rid of the size.
Well, it's always the nutty thing of how are we going to pay for it? What do you mean pay for it? It's our money.
That's right. There's nothing for you to pay for with my money other than that which I say I give you the right to use. And, you know, this is why, in a way, this is going to be a big battle because it's trying to be done in a way that it can get passed, number one. But number two, by taking that route, they have boxed themselves in terms of what they can actually do. Real tax reform. We would have at least had a conversation about sales tax, fair tax, income tax, which is stupid and repugnant at the same time. We haven't even had that conversation. That's tax reform. Okay, but we can't really have that conversation doing it this way. And they know better than I in Congress what the best way to do it is. So I trust that this is the best way to get something done. But for those folks, and I don't think we're going to hear this, but for those folks that would say, and I heard a commercial that said this when I was on the road on Fox News, someone was running running an ad that basically said, we don't want tax cuts that add to the national debt, but you're all in favor of spending that adds to the national debt, I mean, you're only going to hear that argument out of the left.
Yep.
And it's a spurious argument, specious, I should say, argument on their behalf. But what I would say is this, if you are concerned about the debt, and you should be concerned about the debt, because the debt itself is the biggest lodestone on our economy. It's also the biggest risk factor for everyone. If you're concerned about that, then let's just throw it out there. You could sell some of your assets, federal government, pay off all of the debt, and still have a whole bunch of assets left over. So there's nothing wrong with giving us our money back, and there is a practical way to get the two ends to meet, revenues and expenses, or at least in the here and now. if you want something then to occur routinely over time that is much more healthy than the pace we've set, then we must talk entitlement reform.
Yep. Well, you know, 2018 is election year again.
Yeah.
And midterms. Yep. And if people keep kicking this down the road, they're going to be
kicking it into past the midterms.
Yeah. And some people aren't going to be in office come midterms if they don't behave.
That's right. And it's, I hope the Senate understands that, Mark. I trust somebody of intelligence has clued them in. Maybe they don't want to hear that message, but that is the message. All right. Two things I want to talk about in terms of our economy right now. Number one, we always look at those leading economic indicators, and they are up. They even hit a new high in early October, but since then, they've actually given a little bit back. I don't think it's anything to worry about. We're still in an uptrend, and the growth rate of the leading economic indicators is still good and bouncing back very nicely. What we would want to be concerned about is if we started to give back all that was won in the aftermath of the hurricanes. When we bounced back a lot better than what we gave up because of the hurricanes. If we start giving that back, I think there might be something to worry about that is not happening right now. Second thing I really want to talk about is the money supply. Over the past several weeks, we've done a pretty good job of explaining the relationship between GDP, the stock market, and printing money. Well, we are not printing money, and the money supply is shrinking in the U.S., and it's not because we wouldn't like to print more. There is a price you pay for printing more dollars, and that is inflation. So the government, the Fed mainly, quasi-governmental entity, is pulling back on the reins of money supply. At the same time, people aren't taking out as many loans. There are people defaulting on their loans, and this is reducing the money supply as well. And that is coming down, okay? And the stock market absolutely needs that money supply number to be going up. And I'm not talking about the absolute amount of money in the system. That always goes up with rare exception. I'm talking about the growth rate of creating money. So when that growth rate comes down, you'd more accurately describe that as deceleration. It's not; it's growing, just not growing as fast. That is what the stock market does not like. Right now, that money supply in the United States is sitting at the lower end of its post-recession range in terms of growth rates. So the stock market is not having the fuel that it needs added to the system as much. On the other hand, you've got the world printing money, and that is leaking into our markets and probably doing the work that the U.S. money supply has not been doing, and that is adding liquidity, fuel, to the stock market. So we need to watch that, and you know we've talked a lot about it. I don't really want to badger the point, but if we take global central banks at their word, what they're saying is basically we're going to start cutting back all of the money we're injecting into markets and economies here, so that you'll see a huge deceleration in global money supply in 2018, particularly the second half. And by early 2019, in fact, January of 2019, if we take these folks at their word, there is going to be a net global reduction in money in the markets. In other words, they will be withdrawing liquidity. The Federal Reserve is already selling back the bonds that it bought with quantitative easing. In other words, that's called quantitative tightening. So we're reducing the amount of money supply, but that just started in October, and it's not by much. The money supply is going down for reasons other than that, but that certainly is not helping. That's what we need to be aware of. That's what we need to watch, and it's what we will watch on Free Market Underground, all things boom and bust, because as the name implies, that leads to bust. We will keep an eye on it, but we're giving people plenty of opportunity to take a look at what they have and say, gee, am I really overinvested in stocks right now? We'll talk more about the market when we get back, but we do need to take a break right now. You're listening to Free Market Underground, KCMO Talk Radio 710, now heard on 103.7 FM as well. Over the last few months, politics and a bipolar economic picture have been driving markets. Both of these stories, though, have taken the investor's eye off the ball. My name is Chris Butler with Butler Lands and Wagler and host of the radio show Free Market Underground. Investors should be looking at the extreme valuations we're seeing in both stocks and bonds. That means stocks and bonds both are relatively expensive. Why should this be a concern? Because markets rarely do well from periods of high valuations over the ensuing 10 years. But this is a great time to evaluate the risk you're taking with your investments. Do you have too much in stocks or too much in bonds? And what's your plan if either of these two markets fall or go nowhere for a lengthy period of time? Maybe we can help. Download our free report at investontrack.com and see how we use extreme diversification and other risk reduction tools to help navigate these markets in our all-weather growth portfolio. Again, go to investontrack.com and download our free report.
At our home, winter nights are complicated. Either I end up freezing,
or I'm sweating.
Hi, I'm Missy Tannen.
And I'm Scott Tannen, founders of Boll & Branch, the world's most comfortable sheets.
And now, we've created the world's first luxury flannel bedding, available for a limited time at BollAndBranch.com. Try them risk-free for 30 nights.
Go to BollAndBranch.com today for $50 off your first set, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP. Spelled B-O-L-L and Branch.com. Promo code SLEEP.
One size fits all has no place in your bedroom. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of Helix Sleep, and we know one mattress can't work for everyone. That's why we created the only mattress built for you. Go to helixsleep.com, take our two-minute sleep quiz, and we'll build your custom mattress and ship it to you for free. Try it for 100 nights, and if it's not the best sleep you've ever had, we'll pick it up and give you your money back. Go to helixsleep.com/talkradio right now, and we'll give you $50 towards your custom mattress. That's helixsleep.com/talkradio.
Stimulating talk on your smartphone, tablet, or mobile device with the KCMO Talk Radio app, a free download in the iTunes or Google Play stores.
Welcome back to Free Market Underground, all things boom and bust, where every week we try to make a little bit of sense out of our world. My name is Chris Butler, portfolio manager with Butler Lands and Wagler. Going to talk about the markets right now. Before we do, though, I want to remind you to go to Facebook and look up Free Market Underground. Give us a like if you like it. Also, I think...
All right.
Yeah. I think every couple of weeks, Mark, we're going to do a podcast on... which would be a Facebook Live. And I think to have another one here next week.
I'll have to dress up for that.
Yeah, did you happen to see, did you see an article that came out relative to a guy by the last name of Parker in Facebook this week, Mark, on the evil that Facebook does to our youth?
No, I did not.
He was one of the first investors in Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And he has, in fact, made it his mission here in his own personal life. Over, I think about the last year, he has started to shut off social media and try to engage in human face-to-face contact. Now, this seems stupid that that's a news story, but it is a news story. There's a guy that shut off social media and is actually trying to communicate on a face-to-face basis.
But, well, there you go. Well, see, it's like my sons and my grandchildren, you know, they always want to text me and all this. Just call me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, God forbid the president should start tweeting. Oh, wait a minute. He already did.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's too late for that. I totally agree with the guy. And his point was essentially that at an early age, and his point was really about the youth, kids, not adults, don't know how to handle the acceptance and rejection that you would routinely get on,
Facebook. I can give you just a quick example without using names. Young kid in his 20s goes to work, deals with a client, doesn't like what happens with the client, comes home instead of venting to the, you know, venting on the way home like you and I would do in the car or somewhere out in the woods somewhere, he gets on Facebook. You know, I hate everybody, you're all scum, blah, blah, blah. It's on the web. It's out there. Everybody can see it.
Exactly right. And if somebody screen captures it, it is permanent.
Absolutely.
You can't delete it. Yeah, that's right. You know, I think social media is great. I don't engage in it as often as some people do, probably a generational thing. But it does make communicating easier. I'm with you, Mark. To me, texting is more difficult than just calling.
Yeah.
But hey, I've seen people text, and for some, it is easier to text. Just isn't for me.
I do have one quick question, because we were talking about the markets and the Fed and all that. What do you think of the new
Fed president? Jerome Powell.
Yes.
More of the same. He is Janet Yellen.
Yeah.
The only difference is I think Janet Yellen is a Democrat. I'm not sure. Jerome Powell is actually a Republican, of that I am sure.
And the more I think about it, is there a lot of difference anymore?
Not at that position.
Yeah.
I don't think
they
so.
They could have asked me. I looked ahead on my schedule. Yep. I was open, but no, they didn't ask.
Here's something that I do like about Jerome Powell, Mark. He does not have a PhD in economics. So he comes from the private sector. He comes from a private equity firm that's, I guess, a lot like Bain Capital, Mitt Romney's company. So he understands what it takes for businesses to have success. I do think that that's to his credit. But to the man with a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Yeah.
If you're going to work at the Fed, you're going to view your primary instrument as monetary policy, the injection or withdrawal of money. And I think that creates booms and busts. Well, I'm certain of it. It creates booms and busts, and that is a problem. So in that sense, that's why I said he is Janet Yellen. I mean, both of those folks believe that they've got a hammer and the world is their nail.
Mm.
I mean, their hammer is monetary policy, the creation of and withdrawal of money. And that is exactly the subject of our show, Boom and Bust. It creates that cycle. So in that sense, I'm not a huge fan of Jerome Powell. I suppose he brings some things to the table that I find refreshing. But in the end, he is going to do exactly as Janet Yellen has done, unfortunately. Good question, though. Let's talk about markets. Thursday and Friday alone, we saw the dollar drop about 2/3 of 1%. Honestly, it could have been worse, and this was about taxes. I mean, when I woke up on Thursday morning, turned on the TV and saw stock futures on the S&P 500 down about 0.5%, maybe a little bit more than that, and it got uglier from there. I mean, it did not stop until about central time, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, where we hit a bottom and erased about half of the losses that we had that day. That was the market first responding to a rumor that the Senate was going to delay corporate tax, the maximum marginal bracket on corporate income. They're going to delay that a year. That was the rumor. Then later in the day, you got the news. And there was more selling. The weird thing was Thursday and Friday, and it continued on Friday. The weird thing was that you would think that when you sell stocks, that money goes somewhere. It usually goes to bonds if you're fearful of something. The money was not going into bonds. In fact, interest rates on bonds rose on Thursday and Friday. In fact, interest rates spiked on Friday. About 6 basis points. In other words, it went from The 10-year Treasury interest rate went from 2.34 to 2.4 on Friday, which is a huge one-day move. A huge one-day move. This, while stocks were selling off, it is kind of weird to see that. Usually when stocks sell off, that money goes into the bond, not always, but usually goes into the bond market because people are scared. They want some safety. Gold, really gold bottomed on October 23rd here most recently, has been slowly moving up. Then on Friday, as the European markets close, and this is a lot of time where you see a little bit of volatility in different asset classes, Europe closes at 10:30 Kansas City time in the morning. Somebody sold $4 billion of notional value in gold in the futures market. We see this all the time with gold. Never gets investigated. Never. Obviously, somebody that is dumping $4 billion of gold is not concerned with price.
I was going to mention that to you, that I had done some dumping of gold recently.
Yeah, just shaved off a little of the Andrews fortune.
Yes.
Yeah. and it hurt the market, Mark. Yes, I know it's a pittance to you, but and it happens a lot. It happens so much, in fact, that it's disturbing that this never gets investigated. And it doesn't. It never gets investigated. Oil also going up, almost closing at $57 a barrel, I should say. Did hit that in the week. A couple other things going on with oil. Number one, we hit in the United States an all-time high in production. We had a surge in oil rigs being brought to market, the biggest weekly surge since June.
I thought the hurricanes destroyed all that.
It actually did not shut down as many as was feared. Yes,
well,
but you're right.
Yeah.
When you hear about those hurricanes, you think oil rigs. And you should actually think oil rigs. Most of them were not permanently impaired. Most of them, in fact, were back online within 2 months. Certainly by late October. But that's not the only commodity that's going up, and this might be why interest rates are rising. Copper up, lumber up. The stock market itself had the first weekly drop in 2 months, which doesn't seem like much of a big deal. It isn't. But it has, think about that, for 8 weeks, this is the first down week. And there are some things going on there that would make me just look at how much I have allocated to stocks. Don't forget to check us out at, on Facebook Live, Free Market Underground. Also, give us a little bit of time to get a new website page up. I know that's frustrating some of you. Please stick with us. We'll have that resolved soon. That's about all the time we've got. Stay tuned for Don Wales, Protecting Your Retirement. That comes up next. I want to thank Mark Andrews for producing. Thank you for listening to Free Market Underground, all things boom and bust. Till next Saturday, have a great week.